us have a wee word of prayer and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day, for the opportunities to reach out to you, or reach out to folks, point them to the gospel, for the edifying of this morning's service. Thank you, Lord, for being there in good times, but most importantly, and in difficult times. Pray for Stephen and his family at this time, too. We pray most of all, Lord, for ourselves, for each soul that's here, the heads that are bowed in your presence, and the families that are represented here, Lord. You would take and use this as a time to work on us and through us and in and around those that we love. Please save souls. Please edify your children. I pray for our country, for our leaders, and for the leaders of the other countries around the world. For those that are setting themselves up like little kings and little kingdoms and ruling their countries as such, Lord, I pray that you would greatly constrain. Please be with those that are opening your word and preaching the full counsel of it wherever it is in the world at this time. And Lord, please, I pray you speak through the speakers. We love you and praise you. Thank you for loving us and for all that you've done for us, Lord. We can't thank you enough. We just ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's warm up with number two in the wee black books. This blessed old number two in the wee black books, this blessed old book.
Thank you. As I turned and lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of brass. And the first chariot were red horses, and the second chariot black horses, and the third chariot white horses, and the fourth chariot grizzled and bay horses. Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, What are these, my lord? And the angel answered and said unto me, These are the four spirits of the heavens which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. The black horses which are therein go forth into the north country, and the white go forth after them, and the grizzled go forth toward the south country, and the bay went forth and sought to go, that they might walk to and fro through the earth. And he says, Get you hence, walk to and fro through the earth. So they walked to and fro through the earth. Then cried he upon me, and spake unto me, saying, Behold, these that go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Take of them of the captivity, even of Chaldeah, of Tobiah, of Jediah, which are come from Babylon, and come unto you the same day, and unto the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. Then take silver and gold, and make crowns, and set them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. And the crown shall be to Helam, and to Jeah, and to Jediah, and to Hem, the son of Zephaniah, for a memorial in the temple of the Lord. And they that are far off shall come and build in the temple of the Lord, and you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. And this shall come to pass if you will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Amen.
Thank you, Will. Is that name, the branch? It's actually, I think that translates as the Nazarene, which is referring to Jesus Christ. Amen. Just want to remind everybody to make sure that they get one of those couple of prayer lists. Want also to remind you something I think neglected this morning, neglected to mention. Will's cousin William, his wife Rachel, is in hospital at the moment having a baby. So please do pray for William and Rachel. So we're expecting good news the next day or two, yeah? Hang on. Enjoy hospital food too much.
No, for her sake.
We pray for Rachel. Okay. Is there anything else we need to be thinking about or praying for? Just please continue to pray for Monica's mother. She is in hospital with compression fracture and her on her back, which is osteoporosis, so this could be an ongoing thing. And she's also got, her blood is very thin, so she's in being treated for that. I don't know if any of you remember, but could be a year ago more that she ended up being airlifted to a hospital because they took her off her blood thinning meds and she took a stroke. Thankfully, they managed to retrieve the clot and she made a good recovery from it, but that did affect her as well, so please do pray for her. And for her hubby, Monica's dad, my father-in-law, the best in-laws I've ever had. They are. It's not just because they're on another continent. Because they're very, very nice and I always enjoyed staying with them whenever we went. I think they did a very good job of not grinding their teeth for 3 weeks whenever we were there. So please do pray for them. Roger and Pat, if you would. William and Rachel, Roger and Pat. Anybody else? Each other, things we have in front of us, what's going on in the world today, and keep your eyes on the Lord. No matter what, keep your eyes on the Lord. That's about that. Nothing else? Did we do the private prayer request this morning? Did we? Mention them, I don't think we. Anybody here? We all got private prayer requests. We will check with the rest of the folks as and when.
Oh, yes, Naomi Baker. Not surgery or anything, but she just has an issue with.
Gospel?
No, with gluten. She's just an issue. She's had an awful time of it. She's just this last. She has just been absolutely wretched. Now, I didn't get rid of her because they had an issue. Ignorance, but she is just having an awful time, and I'm pleading with her now to get allergy tested because it's making her really unwell, yep. Really wretched, just absolutely wretched.
Who's this?
My daughter, you know, Naomi. She's been having this, and she's been trying to do it in her own for years and one thing, and I said, Naomi,
I'll just get off gluten, that's the only way.
No, but she really wants to go this way. She says, no, I'm going to be doing this. I really need to know what's going on because there's long-term implications with this.
Well, there was a lady that used to come to the church who was celiac, not just gluten intolerant. She insisted on eating her bread for years and years and having her biscuits and this, that, and the other, and she ruined her intestine. There's a reason the doctor, whenever you have a gluten intolerance or an egg intolerance or whatever, that you should lay off those things because your body can't handle them, you're hurting yourself. Mm-hmm. And my good wife shared with me some of her wisdom at one point. She said, there is no food, no matter how tasty it is, that's worth feeling sick after you eat it. So the best thing she could probably do is to cut it out of her diet for about a week and see how she feels.
And then, she knows.
Then take it up.
Oh no, she knows. She knows. She knows now. But I said to her, you can't go on like this because...
And then, whenever she comes visiting,
what?
Whenever she comes visiting, you just get a nice couple of soda farms in and give her a Rice Krispie, one of these tasteless polystyrene Rice Krispie things, right, Cracker Jacks or whatever you call them, mm-hmm. And you put butter and your homemade jam in yours and then say, this is what living for with gluten intolerance is really like. Puffing her up a bit.
I intentionally went to the fridge that day and I put mayonnaise on top of my bacon and sausage.
Did you suffer from it?
No.
Just a wee taste?
A wee taste. And I realised that I'd done it. And then I said, ruined the sausage, I've ruined that. I'm going to take it off. There it goes.
You were banned. You're just a bit intolerant of eggs then?
6 weeks now and Every week gets better.
That's good.
It takes a long time to leave the system.
It does.
So, Naomi and her gluten intolerance.
Does she know she has?
It's a thing.
Oh, dear Aunt Shirley.
Oh. You think how many people
been sick
in these days with all of our modern farming methods are coming down with these food allergies? It's actually, whenever I was little, I remember my brother had a milk allergy, a dairy allergy, and he would have broken out in spots. And the antics we got up to looking for goat's milk, because there was no such thing as soy milk or anything back then. And that was the only thing I ever heard of. In our house, you drank milk, you ate bread, and whatever was going you had. But there's a lot of food intolerances. Are they being found out, or are people developing them because of the whatever it is they put in food? I don't know, but we'll certainly pray for it. It's not pleasant. It's not pleasant. When I say we'll pray for, I mean we'll pray for for your sister. Don't forget your sister. You may as well do it.
In part, my friends, sit into your house tonight, Lord. Growth and number, bless our service to you, Lord, in our prayers, our offerings, our tithes, our prayers, our attentiveness, Lord. George, push your walk with me, Lord, and may you see a blessing tonight as well, Lord. Growth those in our churches, Lord, that are going to Bible and Christian churches, Lord, that the Word of God speaks cheerfully and honestly and truly according to thy will, Lord. You may use it to touch and save those that are lost, Lord. Bring the backslidden back to you as well, Lord. With our and by the sick and our we know of with Rachel William Lord and Lord give wisdom and judgment to the doctors that are saying Rachel's birth Lord and use your providence and Lord see that everything's done rightly and that there's a successful and healthy delivery of the baby Lord. Just with my sister Naomi helping her the goodness and tolerance Lord and find out if there can be anything more until it, Lord, stop the any discomfort or any pain or anything else, Lord, that comes up with us, Lord. With our company, Lord, with the leadership of the prayer power, Lord, you might save those in there, Lord, and may direct the people, direct the ministers to thy word, Lord, and direct them to that path, Lord, to his soul, find it powerfully, Lord, and see that this company is run correctly and run correctly as well, according to thy will, according to that preaching and teaching, Lord. With the marks of the love of the gospel, Lord, give deliverance from the Spirit, Lord, and help them to guide us through their word, Lord. And Lord, may we learn from it and use it in our lives, especially in the week to come, Lord. And direct our paths and the Word of God daily, Lord, and our prayers, Lord. And also, Lord, may Josh push the walk for you, may we be well pleasing to you, Lord. With us this night, Lord, we are full of love and teach us and guide us for thy honor, for thy glory. Please press it in.
Thanks, Paul. Let's take our hymn books again, folks, and sing another one or two of these songs. Was it hymn number 30 or 31 that somebody...
31.
Number 31, the King of Love, my Shepherd is. Let's take a turn there and read like this.
My King of Love, my Shepherd.
42:1.
I think
it's perfect. That's grand. 42:1. I'm sitting up about 4 foot. For once I'm actually a foot or so taller than normal. I'm feeling there's a cushion of warm air up here. Number 29, and then we'll open our Bibles. Number 29, this is a good one. We'll stand as we say, precious Lord, take my hand. Chapter 2, verse 1, and spend a minute or two just on the subject of the last days, some of the signs of it. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia, and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? And others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, saying it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that it, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, and vapour of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. We're going to stop there. Just spend a moment or two, another moment or two, on the subject of the last days. Last days part two, maybe, would be a good way of that. Let's have a wee word of prayer, and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, we thank you for, again, for this time in your presence. And I pray that you would just open the scriptures to our understanding of the scriptures, Lord, and just be one of our number this evening. We hold to that precious promise, Lord, that wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, you'll be there in the midst. And I pray you, Lord, please, that you would be one of our number. Just thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, for considering our prayer requests, our private prayer requests for, excuse me, for William and Rachel, for the new baby at this time, for Naomi Baker at this time, for Roger and Pat here. Pray you too for Phil and Natalie Seeley, for John and Ruth Ann Asquith, and their church families, for Ed and Joan Bissett too, Lord, for Stan and Karen. Lord, for Jim Van Votenberg, for the many men that are standing to be counted for the cause of Christ this evening, here and at different times throughout the world, across all the different countries, Lord, please, I pray, be with each and every one of us. We really do need you, Lord, especially as these days grow darker and darker. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We did speak in this and a week or two back, and as I was reading it again, I just thought, you know what, it deserves another look at it. It excites me and it interests me, especially as we see things as the Lord actually, whenever, even just around the Lord Jesus Christ, as he worked with his disciples, he reminded them of prophecies that were made in their distant past. And he said, there have been many wise men desired to see the things that you see. They didn't see them. Only in faith they saw them, and by way of looking out for the prophecies. And here we are today, and we get to see some of the prophecies that Christ made, and even of men that walked and talked with Christ and were inspired by him before Christ walked on the earth, and the prophecies that they made, we get to see those come to pass. Joel was written maybe 500-600 years before Jesus Christ walked on the earth. And here we have the apostles saying that this is the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. Now, sometimes people would like to argue about when the last days are. These are the last days. The last days have been going on since Christ went up to heaven and people started getting saved, and the Holy Spirit indwelling. That's the sign that's mentioned there in Joel. And these are the things that you can argue about it, and you can have your own opinion about it. And that's okay. And it's right as long as it agrees with what the Bible says. Where we are right now is the last of the last days. We live in the days when so many other prophecies made in the Bible have come to pass, and are coming to pass even as we watch the TV or surf the internet. But this particular point, this was another great handover time. This was when the ministry of Christ on earth was finished, and the ministry of his disciples, his apostles and his followers was commencing. The great sign was that, yes, they spoke the same message, but they were able to do the miracles that Jesus did. They were able to raise the dead to life. They were able to cast out demons. They were able to heal the sick. They spoke in different tongues. I would seriously love to see what would happen in a lot of churches today whenever they start speaking in tongues. If there was a rushing mighty wind and cloven tongues of fire sat in their heads, I could guarantee you that more than one bottle of Evian, spring water, would be fired at people thinking their heads were on fire. The Bible plainly says that tongues would cease and they have, that healings would, tongues and healing and things like that would go away. People are not given that gift anymore. God still heals. God still works in people's hearts and minds. My sister is living proof today that God still heals people. She was looking at being paralyzed down one half of her body because of a brain tumor that they thought they were going to have to cut out. And through much prayer and a couple of kilos of apricot seeds, she walked out of the cancer ward in the Royal Hospital. And I tell you, she was at the very back, and there were some frightening looking cases of people that were dying with cancer. She walked out because people were praying for her. She got saved. She's not exactly living for Jesus, but she got saved. She asked him to save her, and he did, physically and spiritually. A lot of people like to poke fun at you when you live for Jesus and when things happen. They did it to the apostles. They said they're drunk. But the guy said, they're not drunk. They're not babbling. They're not talking nonsense. They're actually preaching the gospel in our own language, in the country in which we were born, the strangers of Israel. They're not drunk. You can mock all you like, but you're wrong. And Peter said, remember Joel. Remember the prophet Joel. He said that God was going to pour out his spirit upon, it says all flesh in my Bible. Does it say that in yours? I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Everybody is going to get a touch from the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean everybody's going to be saved unto the day of redemption. And it doesn't mean everybody will be able to benefit of all the gifts of the Spirit. Not everybody has an open pathway to God. Not everybody is invited into the Holy of Holies. But those that are saved. Not everybody is given every word to speak, but those that are saved. Not everybody gets that overcoming power, but those that are saved. However, lost souls, they do get the benefit of the Holy Spirit too. It's not much thought of or considered these days. But have you ever wondered why you and I as Christians are not welcomed with open arms into pubs and nightclubs and dances? Why the whorehouses and the sex clubs don't have a little place in the front of them for Christians to sit and to read their Bibles out loud and to go before the Lord in prayer? You know why that they don't have these things? You know why even many of the courts remove the Ten Commandments? And do you know why schools start to cut down on the hymn singing and the Bible reading first thing in the morning? I remember we had to do that. I hated it whenever I was little. It just shows you how much God can change a person. The reason they do that is because whenever someone sees the commandments or hears a bit of the scriptures, God reserves the right to convict them about it. And that's the Holy Spirit's job. He taps them on the shoulder as they go to put a drink in their mouth and says, you shouldn't be drinking. God says you shouldn't be drinking. But they go on and do it anyway, and they sear their conscience like with a hot iron. It comes to a point they don't actually feel anything about that anymore. It's just normal. But when they go to fill their veins with drugs or pop pills, Holy Spirit taps them on the shoulder and says, you shouldn't be doing that. You're just taking a step farther and farther away from God with every pill you put in your mouth. And he taps away and he convicts of sin and judgment to come. Or when they go to have one of these hookups, go to one of these hookup websites or apps or whatever it is, and they select a strange one. I was just reading, and we were reading in Proverbs, was it Proverbs 6 or Proverbs 7, where it warns against casual physical relationships. No uncertain terms. And as they go about their business of their adultery or fornication, the Holy Spirit's tapping them on the shoulder and saying, you shouldn't be doing that. There is a penalty for that. That's a sin. You shouldn't be doing that. But after a while, if you ever shake hands with a farmer or a builder, what do you notice? Hard skin, calluses on their hands, and a powerful grip as well. And do you know the reason for that? It's because they're forever working with stuff, lifting it in their hands. It's rough. They might end up with hacks or cuts, but the skin grows back thicker and stronger. It comes to a point. I used to laugh at my uncles. They used to tell me, you know how to pick up an apple more. Me with my little lily white tender skin. You grab it from the bottom, you grab it hard and you lift it up. You go ahead, I'll show you. And they big, like it's like built-in leather gloves. They lift it up, you see, and I thought, well, that's cool. And I lift it and I get stung all over my hands. That's a tender skin, that's toughened skin or a calloused skin. It's the same with a tender conscience that God can work with. And a calloused conscience that doesn't feel anything. In fact, God, through the Apostle Paul, mentioned it in Romans chapter 1. And it comes to the point where no matter what they do and what sin the soul is given over to, they don't even feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And there comes a point where God doesn't even convict them anymore. He just gives them over to a reprobate mind to do those things, the Bible says, which are not convenient. God has poured His Holy Spirit out on all flesh. When you open your mouth and you mention the name of Jesus properly and respectfully, it pricks the heart of the lost soul. And they're going to do one of two things. As we read on here, in verse 41 it says, after Peter explained the gospel to them, he said, what are we going to do? And Peter said, repent of your sins. And the Bible records that the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Some people do want to get saved. But don't forget what they did to Jesus whenever he preached the same words with miracles to back them up. They were out for blood, Christ's blood, and they arrested him illegally, tried him in a fixed court, and sentenced him to death. Even after being found innocent. And every time you open your mouth, every time there comes a point when people know you and they know that, maybe share with them what God has done for you, or you share with them, hey, I found an amazing piece of scripture. I even came across a piece of scripture that I hadn't thought about for a long time, where it talked about God magnifying His word above all His name. In other words, it's the word of God, first, last, and foremost. No matter what name's on the outside of the church, call it a Catholic church, I don't care. As long as the full counsel of the word of God is preached, it is a Bible-believing Christian church. God does pour out His Spirit upon lost souls. Have you ever wondered why in these days, right now, people are into so much. People's their attention and their time and their money is taken up with chasing fashion, or at least most of the fashions. Well, maybe about 30% of the fashions, because that's the way we girls go around dressed. And because they're wearing those clothes, they need to be chasing drink as well, because you couldn't wear that stuff and be anyway comfortable or warm. I remember a few years back driving through Kilfenan, there was a wee girl in a cut-off top, and she was either in a short skirt or quite literal tights in the middle of the winter, walking on the street, and she must have been foundered. People chase fashions, they chase alcohol, they chase that numbness, that forgetfulness that alcohol brings, that God offers for free, if you'll trust Him as your Savior. He'll forget your sins. That's the one that's important. They'll chase possessions. Remember what it said about the rich young ruler. And by the way, I have no problem with anybody having money. Enjoy it. Enjoy what God has given you. I have no problem with that. But sometimes people make it a god, and it becomes the be-all and end-all of their life. And I don't know about you, ladies may not know something, but when men get focused on something, they can't think on anything else, and sometimes they don't even hear anything else. And that's the way people go whenever they get fixated on things. And there's so much out there to be fixated upon. Is it any wonder in these last of the last days that people's interests, and we'll call them interests, are so diverse and so varied? And yet there's never a shortage of people to find company in that topic to justify your interest in. Continually spending time and effort doing those things means that you don't have to think about eternity. You don't have to consider the things that the Holy Spirit is convicting you about. And you can merrily go through your life without feeling any of the pricking of your conscience that the Holy Spirit is doing to try and save your soul. And when you come to the end of your life, and I have seen it happen so many times, go to hospital, you're in some discomfort or pain, what's the first thing that you get? We shot a morphine. What's the next thing that you get? A morphine driver. And that's the last thing you get. Your consciousness is taken from you. The last opportunity that you have to consider, hold on a wee second, I have just discovered that the guy that stood in the corner of the car park in Altmagelvin, yelling into a megaphone for the past, 7 years? What he said about being on your deathbed is absolutely true. My money doesn't matter. My sports doesn't matter. My favourite TV show doesn't matter. My gadgets don't matter. My fashions are no good to me. My money, I can't spend it on anything. It's not going to do anything for me. I'm empty. I'm facing eternity. What's it all about? And that soul faces eternity without Christ as their Saviour. I think it was Voltaire, or one of the big brains from many years ago, Voltaire, didn't discover electricity, but he certainly harnessed it and came about, some of those guys. Did Voltaire not get his name on the batteries and stuff? Anyway, it was Voltaire, regardless of what he did, I'll check up on that. On your recommendation. He said, I take a fearful leap into the dark. One of the smartest men in the world that rejected Christ took a fearful leap into the dark. And the Holy Spirit desires that all men would be saved, just like our Heavenly Father, just like the Son of God, desires that all men would be saved. And he has poured out his Spirit on all flesh. Putin has been convicted by the Holy Spirit. Xi Jinping has been convicted by the Holy Spirit. Kim Jong-un has been convicted by the Holy Spirit. So was Hitler and Stalin and your man Dahmer, the mass murderer. They've all been convicted by the Holy Spirit, but they chose not to do it because it would mean that they would have to change. The things that were so ordinary and part of their lives, they don't have to give up. One of the other things that the Lord said to look out for in the last days is when people would be all into themselves. He said they would be proud and boastful and covetous. They would have no natural affection. There would be no love between a parent and a child or a child and a parent. There would be no love for your fellow man that you would do people a good turn. It used to be that if people saw bins sitting out, your neighbours, they would put them in for you. And now that's very, very few and far between. And whenever you try to point them in ways that will save them money, that will save them their health, that will save them their jobs, that will save them their family, that will save their souls for the endless ages of eternity, they mock and they scoff, just like it said in 2 Peter chapter 3, in the last days, perilous times shall come. These are the last days. It means, of course, with more of the world being more out there and in your face about their sin, and so many sins have become acceptable. Adultery is acceptable. Fornication is acceptable. Homosexuality is acceptable. If you have a good enough lawyer, murder and theft is acceptable. All these things are seen as ordinary. You can take the Lord's name in vain. Does anyone recall the time whenever Moses was getting his education? No, it wasn't. When Moses was leading the children of Israel through the wilderness, and there were many mistakes made along the way by many of the people, but there was one young fella who was equivalent to a Samaritan. He would have been a half Jew and a half something else. And he strove with a man, and he took the Lord's name in vain. And they brought him before the judge. Moses at the time, I think it was. Everybody lifted the stone, and they stoned him to death for taking the Lord's name in vain. And I guarantee you now, you could not walk through the town for more than 5 minutes before you hear someone taking the Lord's name in vain. And this is acceptable. It's acceptable for children to dictate to their mothers and fathers what's right and what's wrong. It's acceptable for children to disobey and rebel against their mothers and fathers, and all they get is reward for it. These things are wrong, they're sinful. And yet, it's acceptable now. It really doesn't matter in the eyes of God. He never changes. Yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus Christ is the same. God the Father is the same. The Holy Spirit is the same. Those sins are still sin, and someone's going to have to pay for them. And if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's going to be you in the pit of hell and the lake of fire for the endless ages of eternity. It's quite grim, this, whenever we talk about it, especially given the way things are going. This is possibly biblical. But over the past couple of years, there's a few world leaders have gone a bit bonkers. There's a wee girl in Australia, Jacinda Ardern. There's Macron in France. There's Trudeau in Canada. There's Biden in America. There's even Boris Johnson and Liz Truss and whatever. You can have a list as long as your arm for the British PM. And they'll bust the bank, giving them their £110,000 a year at the rate they're going, electing a new one and him or her bailing out. And they've all been treating the countries that they were entrusted with just like their own little kingdoms. Just like Putin and Xi Jinping and Kim Jong-un. They've been treated like kings, like the 10 kings mentioned in the book of Revelation that give their power to the beast. It's worth thinking of. That has been tried out by many of the so-called free countries, and there's been a certain amount of success in their eyes with it. Anyway, it can be grim, and it can be a little bit frightening. And for any soul that doesn't have Jesus Christ, it really leaves them with no hope. People are hoping that a government or an institution is going to take pity on them, and they're not going to. They're not going to. However, the bright side is, many years ago there was before the Great Fire of Chicago, there was a preacher, and he preached a great message. And he preached about hell and damnation and the lake of fire and the regret that people would feel and the torment that they would go through for the endless ages of eternity. And he said, next week we'll be back and we'll preach on salvation and how to get saved. The place burned to the ground. Great Fire of Chicago or something like that. And he said after that, he always included the gospel, the good news, in his messages. I am so glad the Lord pours out His Holy Spirit on the believer. First of all, to convict, to reason with, the tender heart, the open mind, the Holy Spirit, who's your man. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro across the earth. They're always seeking. He sees you. He protects you until the day of your redemption, until the day that your body is done and you stand in front of Jesus, whether that is on your deathbed or whether that's whenever you meet the Lord in the air. You are kept. You are secure. Jesus keeps you on the one hand, the Father keeps you on the other, and the Holy Spirit seals you within. You are sealed. Now, some of the things that are mentioned here are about your daughters and your young men shall prophesy and see vision and dream dreams. And that happened. There was many as a young person, there was many as an old person, had visions and dreams. All of those visions and dreams have passed. The last word in the Holy Bible was put down just over 1900 years ago. There is no need for visions and dreams. There is no new revelation. It's all there, and it takes us right up until the new heavens and the new earth. Right now, for you, God will assure you of your salvation. He will remove the burden of your sins. That's what he promises to anybody that comes to him, who receives the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Whenever you go to him in prayer, and I know I mention this because I am still amazed and thankful for it, but when you go to God in prayer and admit your faults, all of them, and talk to God about the things that are upon your mind, and the troubles that you have, the obstacles that you face, the things that you have accomplished, the Bible says, through that line of communication, through your sealing of the Holy Spirit, the peace that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. In other words, the rest of the world can be running around like headless chickens. You know where you're going when this life is over. You even know what you're doing when you're here in the middle of this life, because of the Holy Spirit. The love that you may feel and the ability maybe to get over some of your ire a bit quicker is also evidence that the Holy Spirit is working in your heart and mind, because God loved us, even the worst of us, God loved us and gave opportunities to see it. It is not on God that people turn it down, it is on men. The Bible promises through the Holy Spirit that he will give you the words to speak whenever you need them. Whenever you're on the spot or in the big chair, as they used to say in Mastermind, God will give you the words to speak. And it will not be you that speak, it will be the Holy Spirit that speaks in you. This is part of the Holy Spirit being poured out upon believers. He will give you strength. Because you start to look past the things of the earth and consider, hold on, I'm going to heaven someday. I'm going to be walking the streets of gold. I'd like a few of my friends here to go and tell people and not worry what other people say. I think I came across on YouTube an instance where some wee girl got all offended and upset because they were saying bad things about her on Twitter. They could say anything about me on Twitter, and it's not going to affect me one little bit. A, because I don't use Twitter, and B, because I don't care. What do you think people say about Mark Bradfield, who used to be a bit of a cod and very sarcastic, always had the latest gadget or computer, and now he's out preaching the gospel? What do you think of that? Oh, he's lost the plot. He's away with the fairies. That doesn't bother me. I'm a fool for God. Those people that have profess themselves to be wise are indeed the real fools. It takes something to stand up in front of everybody and tell them that Jesus loves them, let me tell you. And I didn't have that with me all the time, but God supplies it when I need it, let me tell you. And the recollection of his words when you need them, I live there. I work there. I need that. You've got a divine purpose that God will reveal to you as you read and as you pray. God will give you a desire or a love for ministry. Regardless, I don't know what it's going to be. I barely know what mine is from day to day. but God will give you a purpose. The seeking and saving of souls is the broad brush. The finer hairs, that's entirely up to you. God gives you the ability to read the parables and say, well, yep, I can see how the world is going. He'll give you the ability to read the prophecies and say, yep, I can see that happening now. He will give you the peace in knowing that it's all happening exactly as God says, and he's coming back for us. And you can put your faith in that and act accordingly. He will inspire you. If you take a minute or two in prayer, he'll inspire you. He will give you what it is you need. Well, that's a pat on the back, boot up the rear, a thick ear, divine provision, protection, or such a blessing, and a knowledge and a fearlessness in that you did it once and you can do it again. There's so much that God has promised through the Holy Spirit. That's the pipeline through which we get everything that we need from God. There used to be a poster hanging in the men's bathrooms, Isaiah 40 and 31. It says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll do that for you too. If you ever gone to your bed knackered and you wish that that was the end of it all, and you wake up in the morning and think, let's have at it again. His mercies are new every morning. He'll renew your strength. You'll mount up with wings as eagles. You'll run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. 2 Samuel 22. This is what Samuel records, and I think it was what David said. He said, by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. He has made my feet like hinds' feet, which never slip or slide, no matter the inclination, and he setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to make war, so that a bow of steel is broken by it. These are the promises to the believer from God that the believer can receive via the Holy Spirit whenever they faithfully turn up for them. You see, we have to turn up. And I would say to you, there's no point in not going for them. You ever play, anybody ever play video games? I used to play a lot of video games. I played through it once on medium, just to play it on medium. And then I would go and find out the cheat codes and play it on God mode, so I didn't have to keep going back, save, reload, you could just walk through minefields and people could shoot away at you and you were bulletproof. Waiting upon the Lord in your life is like playing this life on God mode. You get all the benefits, all the blessings of God. You get the ministrations of the angels, the ones he says, look, Mark's going to be keeping you busy today, so you might as well put in for overtime. And they help us. However, has anyone driven through Fort George, coming from the new bridge down to Sainsbury's? See what some fool has put up. St. Michael the Archangel, pray for us. The Archangels, all the angels, they're ministering spirits. They're not intercessors. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The angels are sent by God to help us, the heirs of salvation. Those are the ones that I think on and can remember right now. There are many more in the Bible for you here now tonight through the pouring out of the Holy Spirit of God upon all flesh, especially believers. You know, the last days have been going on for 2,000 years, but there's a lot of prophecies converging on this time. There's very, very little in the Bible that we don't understand. If I said the weeds within weeds and the wings with eyes and all that there, and the other one that stymies me a little bit, although I think I've an idea, is like the big cloud of things like locusts coming up out of the bottomless pit whose leader is Abaddon. I have an idea about that, but I'm not sure, and I wouldn't say it. I wouldn't preach it as being scripture. We know so much now. So many of God's prophecies to us have been revealed simply because of the technology and where we are right now. These are the last days. But just because they are, just because things are a bit uncertain, doesn't mean that we need to be afraid. God didn't give us the spirit of fear. Give us the spirit of adoption, whereby we can call on to Him. That's the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And power and love and a sound mind. Because whenever you're reading your Bible, memorizing your Bible verses, trying to make sense of my sermons, talking to others, being in church, singing songs, I'll tell you what you can't be doing. You can't be up to any devilment. And even serving the Lord means that you're not serving the world, the flesh, and the devil. And it is in your interest to not be serving the world, the flesh, and the devil. There is so much out there. So much. I remember never looking at the Bible and thinking that it was just a dusty old book filled with some morality tales. And it was only whenever I looked at it again through the eyes of a saved man, with the Holy Spirit putting the bits together and bringing them to my recollection like He said He would, that I started to see that this Bible is more up to date than tomorrow's news. And I would urge you to live circumspectly, to live powerfully, and to live for Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ came back at 9 o'clock tonight, we might get home for a cup of tea and a couple of bits of toast, but we wouldn't really get much else done for Jesus with our lives. And I would ask you, are you happy with what you have accomplished? Is there an outstanding thing that God has put upon your heart and said, I would like for you to do that? And say, well, you know what, God, that sounds like a good idea. I think it will. Is there one of those jobs or one of those thoughts that God has been putting your way that you need to get moving? Just do it. And don't worry about what anybody else says. If you're going out there and preaching the gospel and winning the souls and spreading the gospel, I'm going to cheer you on and pray for you. I really am. And God will too. And He'll send everything your way that you need to get it done. But stay with the stuff. Keep your eyes on the Lord. No matter what goes on around and about you, it'll keep your head screwed on. And it'll still give you a bit of joy even when the rest of the world is circling the rim. Amen. We'll stop there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. Amen. We'll go to the big black books. Big black books, the big books, the big hymn books. I have a few hymns that I 372. Let the lower lights be burning, and we'll stand as we sing.
Fly by my mercy.
for your good time and attention. God bless you. I pray you all have a good week and you go into it with everything you need to get through it. Let's close our eyes and be dismissed with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, again for your word and for your patience. Well, this little bit of desert place in the middle of a very busy and crazy world, I pray that you would bless it to us, that you would renew our strength and our wherewithal in the morning, and renew your mercies in you every morning. Please, Lord, I pray that you put your good hand upon us as we go. We love you and praise you. Please help us always to be a help and not a hindrance, and people getting to heaven. We love you and thank you. Amen.